Okay. We mentioned yesterday, we began with the Machlekes Rashi and Tosfos, at the beginning of the Masechta, what is the purpose of Bedikas Chametz? Rashi says the purpose is to avoid violating Bal Yirah, Bal Yimotzeh. Those are the two prohibitions, two out of the three prohibitions that we have with regards to Chametz. Number one, not to eat Chametz, but also shouldn't be seen or found within your home, meaning you shouldn't own Chametz on Pesach either. And in order to avoid violating that, one is obligated to do Bedikas Chametz, to search his house for Chametz, to remove it from the home. Tosfos argued that now that's enough. You could avoid those Isurim with Bito Chametz. You could be Mavato your Chametz and render it either Hefker or negligible. And that would be sufficient. You have to do Bedikas Chametz, because even if I'm Mavato my Chametz, lest I find a piece of Chametz over Pesach and I'll be tempted to come and eat it. But what is the underlying machlokes between Rashi and Tosfos? We had two possible suggestions yesterday. And the second one, the latter was, that perhaps Tosfos over here is following his line of reasoning from later on in the Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, where Tosfos writes that one cannot violate Bal Yirah, Bal Yimotzeh with Chametz that he is unaware of. If he doesn't know that he has Chametz in his house, you don't violate Bal Yirah, Bal Yimotzeh. That's the implication of the Pasuk of Sa'ar Lo Yimotzeh B'Vaseichem. It shouldn't be found in your house, means that it's found already. You know that it's there, and yet you're ignoring it. Then you violate Bal Yimotzeh. But if I don't know that it's there at all, sometimes it says you can't violate Bal Yirah, Bal Yimotzeh. Rashi disagrees. Rashi understood that even if you don't know that the Chametz exists in your home, you're still in violation of Bal Yirah, Bal Yimotzeh. So Tosfos, if you don't know about it, it can't hurt you. There's no reason to bedikas Chametz for Bal Yirah, Bal Yimotzeh. Tosfos was forced into a corner to say it's because you might find it over Yontif and come to eat it. Rashi, though, didn't interpret the pasuk Sa'ar Lo Yimotzeh B'Vaseichem, shouldn't be found in your house, is that it's only a problem if it's found already and you know about it. Rashi assumed even if you don't know about it, there's Bal Yirah, Bal Yimotzeh. What the pasuk is teaching us is just the opposite. Sa'ar Lo Yimotzeh B'Vaseichem means you have to be machapes, you have to go out and search for it. It doesn't say Sa'ar Lo Simtza, you shouldn't find Sa'ar. It says Lo Yimotzeh, it should not be found, which implies that it says in Meshech Chachma, the Pnei Yeshua, that you actually have to go out and check for it. But what emerges then is, perhaps, what is the underlying dispute between Rashi and Tosfos is really, do we have to be concerned with Chametz that one is not aware of? Tosfos felt that one does not have to be concerned with it, and therefore the only reason to bedikas Chametz is maybe you'll find a piece of Chametz and come to eat it. And Rashi assumed that you do have to be concerned with Chametz even if you're not aware of it. However, according to Rashi, we have somewhat of a conceptual problem, not internally in Hilchos Pesach, but in the general rules of Kol HaTorah Kula. Makar Chaim, in his commentary in Hilchos Pesach, in his Psicha, the Siman Tov Lamed Aleph, really goes through this entire sugya, but raises a fundamental issue with the Shita of Rashi. That one has to be concerned with Chametz even if you don't know about it, based upon the principle of Misasek. Now, Misasek is found in Masechta Shabbos, it's found in Masechta Krisos, but it really applies to Kol HaTorah Kula, and it's based on the Pasuk in Parshas Vayikra, where the Torah says, Asher chata ba, pratl misasek, says the Gemara increases, you test him a beis. Asher chata ba, you sinned with that, pratl misasek. You sinned with that item, meaning, and I know about it, and I knew it was Asher, and I did it or I did it by accident, so pratl misasek, then, this comes to a skudu misasek, who you didn't realize what you were doing, and you're not chayv. So when you chayv a carbon, if you did something b'shoigeg, or you'd be, chayv in other punishments if you did it b'mezid, but a carbon is typically only, if a person did something b'shoigeg, that's only if it's not a misasek. What does it mean, a misasek, and how is that different than a regular shoigeg? So Rashi, in Masechtas Krisos, and Tosfos there, it also appears in Rashi in Shabbos, and Tosfos in Shabbos as well, both explain, there's somewhat of a dispute between Rashi and Tosfos about the details of it, but they both agree that what Misasek means is that a person didn't even realize he was doing something wrong. Well, you'll say, isn't that what a Shoigeg is all about? So Rishonim explain, no, a Shoigeg is when a person knows what he's doing, but he thought it's permitted. I forget it's Shabbos today, and I turn on the light. So I know turning on the light is Asur. I know that I'm turning on the light. I just forgot that it's Shabbos. Okay, so that's a shoigeg. A misasek means you didn't even realize that you were turning on the light. You didn't even realize you were doing anything. I'm walking down the street. I have literally no idea that there is a motion sensor in the house next door. Then you're misasek. You have no idea that by walking down the street, you're turning on a light. So when you don't even realize that you're doing a Maisa Iser as you're doing it, that's not a Shoigeg. A Shoigeg is when you're Omer Mutter, you say that it's permitted, or you forgot about the Iser temporarily, but you know exactly what you're doing. Misasek is you don't even realize what you're doing, then, generally speaking, you're putter even from a carbon. You only bring a carbon if you did something b'shoyik, if you realize what you're doing, not prathu masasik. Now, there's an exception to that rule. The Gemara brings up, what would be an example of masasik? A person reaches for what he thinks are permitted fats, right? There's some animal in the animal. It's not true in chayos, but in behemos, they can be brought as a carbon. There are prohibited fats and permitted fats. The permitted fats are most of the fats in the animal. The prohibited ones are the ones around the intestines and the kidneys, the chelav hakloyos, which were typically offered as a carbon. So if a person reaches what he thinks is permitted fats, it's pacha, and he doesn't realize that it's the prohibited fats. Benji doesn't even know what pacha is, but okay. And he realizes, oh, he does know what it is. Okay. We're not commenting on your foods now. This is not a food comparison.
Food was last
year. Okay. Pacha is one of my favorite topics, I see. Okay. Anyway, getting back. So a person, let's say, thinks what he's reaching for is permitted fats, and it turns out that it is prohibited fats. He didn't even realize he was eating prohibited fats. That should have been a classical case of misasik. Nonetheless, the Gemara says, misasik b'chalovim ve'arayos. Is chayev. Or a person, let's say, thinks he's coming into his house. You know, we live in the day of electric lights. The person's coming in, we see everything, you know, even in the night. The person's coming into his house, though, let's say, in the age before electric lights, and he thinks it's his wife. He thinks it's his house. And lo and behold, it's someone else's house and someone else's wife. Oy, oy, oy. So is that a shoygeg? Is that a misasik? What is that? So the Gemara says that should have been a misasik. You didn't even realize you were with Mrs. Plony, you thought you were with your own wife. So you didn't even realize, it's not that I forgot about the Easter of Eishes Chaveroi. I knew about the Easter of Eishes Chaveroi. I thought I was with someone else. That's a misasik. You didn't realize what you were doing was the prohibited activity. Nonetheless, the Gemara says, misasik b'chalovim v'arayos archayev shechein nehene. Because you benefited. So if a person benefits, and there's a benefit then, misasik is chayev. But that's the general rule. So therefore, the Gemara says, misasik l'shabbos, I'm beis on my beis. Over here, his beis niskavim ahagbias hatolish v'chotek hasem mechubar. A person drops his keys in the grass on Shabbos. He thinks he's picking up his keys, and instead he picks up a blade of grass. That's a misasik. That's not a shoygeg. I forgot picking grass on Shabbos is a malacha of kaitzer or toilish. I thought that it's that this is something that's already detached. But I thought it's my keys. And you made a mistake in picking up the wrong item, that's a misasik. You didn't realize you were doing something wrong. That's not a shoygeg. So there's another case, a classical case of misasik. But getting back, says Makor Chaim, 1 minute. And let's say a person has chametz in his house over Pesach, he doesn't even realize that it's there. So why should he be, according to Rashi, according to Tosfos, if you don't know the chametz is there, there's no bayir or bayi matzei. But according to Rashi, no reason to be dikas chametz, to check as for chametz is to avoid bayir or bayi matzei, which implies, without a doubt, that you are over bayir or bayi matzei, even if you don't know the chametz is there. How can I be over bayir or bayi matzei if I don't know the chametz is there? You're a misasik. That's different than a shaykh. It's not, I forgot about the Easter of chametz. I don't even realize that it's happening. You're not chai for such a thing unless you're shechein nehne, unless you benefit, physically, like chalav and varayos, I ate it, you had relations with Eishes Chaver, okay, there you're chai, but otherwise, generally not. So how can you be chai for bayi rabbi matzeh, if you don't even know the chametz is there? That's the question of the Makor Chaim. And he poses a similar question on the Sifin Shulchan Aruch, Sifin Tuf Mem Ches Sif Gimel. Shulchan Aruch says that if a person retains chametz over Pesach, that chametz is known as chametz sha'over lava Pesach. We're going to have to expand upon that. Chametz he retained be'iser over Pesach is prohibited even after Pesach. That's why we know you can't shop in certain stores until Lag Ba'Omer, because we have to wait for the chametz that was retained by a non-religious Jew who doesn't sell his chametz over Pesach, retained the be'iser. We have to wait for that to make its way out of the stores. You're not allowed to buy that even after Pesach because of a penalty, midrabanan. Let's say, though, the Jew retained the chametz over Pesach, ba'ines. He didn't even know about it. Nonetheless, it says in Shulchan Aruch, Chametz shel Yisrael shehava lava Pesach, also b'hanoa, afil henichot shoygeg oines, even though it was an accident, now that's one thing, but an oines means it was beyond your control, meaning you might not even have known about it. Shoygeg means inadvertently. I forgot about it. I knew about it, but I forgot about it. The bottle of scotch, but I forgot about it. However, here, but I didn't even know that this was here. So my neighbor came, he put the scotch in my house, he said happy birthday, and then he left without even telling me. So how am I supposed to even know about that? Nonetheless, it's a penalty of Chametz Shel Pesach. So yes, Makor Chaim, how can this be? Makor Chaim makes a fundamental distinction, causes a controversy between himself and one of his contemporaries, or Rabbi Akiva Eiger, or some of the later contemporary. But the Makor Chaim suggests that the only time there's an exemption of misasek from a carbon chatos is if the violation, the one is over, is something that requires a proactive activity. You know, let's say, I don't know, violating Shabbos, right? You can't violate Shabbos b'shev al tasa by sleeping on your couch. You can squander Shabbos if you sleep the Shabbos all the way and don't bother learning or davening or doing anything spiritual on Shabbos. Yes, that's a waste of a day. But you're not in violation of Shabbos. And violation of Shabbos requires an activity. When we're speaking about an activity, we can distinguish between an activity that I realized I was doing versus an activity I didn't realize I was doing. That's a misasek. However, if the Iser is violated even passively, b'shev v'al tasa, then there is no distinction between whether you did so, with whether you were aware of the Iser was taking place or whether you weren't aware that the Iser was taking place. It says Makor Chaim, and here the Davka B'davar Sha'asra Torah Lasos Maisa, where the Torah said, don't do a certain activity, but Ze Amrina and the Lasra Torah Lasos HaMaisa Rak B'Kavana. There you have to have intention for it. About Kisha Asra Torah Davar She'ein Boi Maisa, when the Torah prohibited something which doesn't entail an activity, Kigoyin Haka, Sha'asra Torah Shalo Yeh Chomets B'Vesa, here the Torah said you're not allowed to retain chomets in your house, Afil Kisha'ein Miskavanasa, even if you're not aware of it, there's no exemption of Misasik. Rav Soloveitchik is quoted in the Masora Journal. We've mentioned that in the past. That's the OU Journal. After Rav Soloveitchik was nifter, they decided to put out many different Torah in the name of Rav Soloveitchik, so that because he published some things in his lifetime, but many of what he said and was known for, and was Marbitz Torah was not published. So Rabbi Ganak inspired the OU to put out the journal of the Divrei Torah of the Rav, and therefore in the back they also published some Mari Halacha having to do with Hilchos Kashrus. The first few volumes were written by Rabbi Schechter. You can tell from the style. I never confirmed it with him, but you can tell from the style that it's Rabbi Schechter till about the volume 9. After that, it's other Talmidim of the Rav. So volume 9 to 1 to 9 are out of this world. So in volume 5. There, Rabbi Schechter quotes from Rav Soloveitchik, who adopted, he endorsed this position of the Nesivis, that if the violation is b'shev al tasa, it doesn't matter, we don't distinguish between misasek versus not misasek, because he explained that the whole exemption of misasek, or exclusion of misasek, is because when I don't recognize that an activity is taking place, that activity doesn't relate to me. In order to relate, even though I'm the one who's doing it, I'm the one who's perpetrating it, but I don't even realize it's happening, then when I walk down the block and a light turns on in my neighbor's house because he has a motion sensor and I didn't even know about it, that's not me turning on the light, even though it was, right, in reality. It's not me in halakha turning on the light because I didn't even realize that it was happening. However, when it comes to Bal Yirah, Bal Yimatze, that depends not on an activity which has to relate to me. The violation is, or the prohibition is, not to retain chametz on Pesach. Is this your chametz? Is this your scotch? In Hilchos Chayshin Mishpat? Of course it is. So then, it doesn't matter that retaining it doesn't relate to you. The prohibition is not in proactively retaining it. It's b'shev al tasa in owning chametz on Pesach, and you certainly did own the chametz on Pesach. So Soloveitchik tried to explain this distinction, this chiddush of the Makor Chaim. Misasik only relates to an activity that I have to have intention to recognize at least I'm doing the activity. If I don't recognize it, it doesn't relate to me, but that would therefore only be limited to prohibitions that involve a certain activity. If it doesn't involve an activity, then not. Rav Soloveitchik continued, and he said, that's brilliantly. That's why chalovim va'arayos are chayiv, even if you don't realize that it's happening, shechein nehene. I reached for shuman, what I think is shuman, and it turns out to be chalev. I didn't realize I was eating chalev. I thought I was eating shuman. Those are two different activities. I thought I was with, you know, ishti. I end up being with eshes chaveroi. That was not what I intended. That activity, therefore, should not relate to me. Says the Gemara, no, shechein nehene. You benefited. Since you benefited, that hana forces us to recognize and to pi halakha that this action does relate to you, because bottom line, you did benefit, and since you benefited, we can't ignore the reality. Even, you know, we have this halakha misasek, because, you know, and say that it doesn't relate to you. It definitely does relate to you because you benefited along the way. So that this explanation helps us justify that distinction between chalom v'arayos and other activities. But that's the basic chiddush of the Makor Chaim. Again, he asked on Rashi, how could you violate by Rabbi Matze without knowing about the chametz? If you don't know about the chametz, how could we penalize you after Pesach that it's chametz chalom v'pesach if you had it within your house? But this? The answer is, isn't it a masasek? You don't even realize that it's happening in kol tarkuah, an action that you don't realize is happening, doesn't relate to you. This Isur doesn't involve an activity. You violate it even b'shev al tasa, and there we don't find the distinction between masasek versus not masasek. We could bring a raya to the opinion of the Mekor Chaim. He does not cite this, but the Ramah writes in Hilchos Tumas Kohanim Simin Shin Ayin Beis Sif Aleph. Over here, Oizvav on the sheet. Kohen Shehu Yoshen. You have a Kohen who's sleeping. Umeis Imay Ba'oil. All of a sudden, the guy next to him passes away. Tzrichen. What do we do over here? Right? The guy's in Beis Medrash. The guy kills over him here. Chas v'shalom. I'm joking. There was a famous maaseh, Dean Zar. Dean Zar was one of the early deans of Yeshiva College. Unfortunately, Nebuch died at the graduation ceremonies on the stage. I don't think they realized that at the time. Anyway, just a little bit of tidbit of YU history. But Kayenchu Yashen Umeis Imay Boyo. There's a nifter in the house with him, but he's sleeping. Do we have to wake up his Shabbos nap in order to tell him that this guy passed away and that he has to leave? Tzirichin lahakitzo lahagilo kidei sheyetze. Yes, we have to wake him up in order so that he should leave. Why do we have to wake him up? Why do we have to wake him up? He's a masasek. He doesn't even realize that it's happening. So why do we have to wake him up? So in the Chuvas, the Chalkas Yoyev was one of the Talmidim of the Avnei Nezer, the father of the Shem Yishmua. So in the Chuvas of the Chalkas Yoyev, it's actually already found in his Rebbe's Chuvas in the Avnei Nezer, explains that you see from here that again, this distinction of the Makor Chaim, that the reason why we don't have to wake him up is because the violation of Tumas Kohanim is not only if you actively, enter into a tent that contains within it a nifter, even if a person is sitting there passively and the nifter dies there, as well, next to him, you have to leave. So you violate this Iser even b'shei v'altas. The Iser is not to come, you shouldn't actively come in contact with Mason. It is not to become defiled by being, in the proximity of Mason. But it doesn't necessarily entail an activity. It could even be violated b'shev va'altase. So that's why we don't say, hey, he's sleeping, he's a masasek, let him be. We have to wake him up and tell him to leave. Another raya to this approach, perhaps, is there's famous Rashi at the beginning of Parshas Emor, where the Pasuk tells us, Emor kohanim v'amarta aleihem, about the Iser of Tumas Kohanim. The Torah uses the word Emor twice. Emor kohanim v'amarta aleihem. Say to the kohanim, saying to them. So Rashi there says, Lahazir gedoilim ala ketanim, to tell the adults that you have to not only be careful about your own Tumas Kohanim, he's a kohen, but you have to be careful even about your little children who's less than bar mitzvah. They're not allowed to come in contact with a kohen. That's why it's a whole tumo. Can a pregnant woman who's an Ashes kohen, and she might be pregnant with a boy, enter into a hospital? She's going to be metame, the fetus that's inside of her, against the tumo within the paiskim, is a pregnant woman. Nowadays, you can tell with a sonogram, is it a boy, is it a girl? But in the times of the paiskim, they were debating, it's a suffik nizachar, a suffik nefo, a whole tumo in the achronim. And a tumo lemaisa, this comes up, can an Ashes kohen enter into a hospital if she knows she's carrying a boy? Either way, you're not allowed to be metame, even the little children. Why can't you be metame the little children? The child's not even aware of what's taking place. So that was a kasha that was asked by the Tzemach Tzedek. The Tzemach Tzedek was the Rav David Rappaport, who was the author of a sefer called Tzemach Tzedek, Ha'aretz and the Tshuvos of Rabbi Kiva Eger, and also the author of the sefer Mikdash David, essays on topics in Hilchos Kodshim. He was a Magid Shir in the Baranovich Yeshiva, together with Rabbi Chanan Wasserman. Rabbi Chanan Wasserman hired him. He was killed during the war, not by the Nazis, by the Russians. But anyway, so the Tzemach Tzedek asked this in his Ha'aretz in the Tshuvos Rabbi Kiva Eger. He says, why should we have to be careful not to be metame the katan? The katan is misasik. He doesn't even realize that he's coming in contact with the tamei mace. And again, what we see from here is tumas kohanim is not something that requires an activity. He could even violate a b'shev al tas, and therefore we don't distinguish between misasik versus not misasik. That's the chiddush of the Mekor Chaim. Rabbi Kiva Eger and his Chuvas and Simen Ches, this is a world-famous machlaikis. Again, everything is only famous if you know about it, right? But it is a world-famous machlaikis between the Mekor Chaim and Rabbi Kiva Eger. As Rav Asher Weiss said, it's only famous if you know about it, but many people happen to know about this, so that's what it means. But it's a famous machlekes din, the Mekor Chaim and Rabbi Kiva Eger. Rabbi Kiva Eger argued, he said, no. He said, Masasek, we could be even your viola, we could distinguish between Masasek versus not Masasek when it comes to Yisurim that are B'shei Val Taseh. It doesn't relate to you, even if it's passive. No. The reason why we penalize you for retaining chametz on Pesach, even though you're not aware of it, or you violate by your rabbi matzeh, even though you're not aware of it, is because even though misasek is an exemption from a karban asher chata ba prat l'misasek, you only bring a karban chatos if you were aware of it, not if you were not aware of it. Either way, though, it's a Maisa Aveira. You might not be a carbon for it, but you certainly did something wrong. So even though you won't be formally punished and admonished for doing something b'misasik, it is an Aveira, make no doubt about it. And therefore, we will penalize you for retaining chametz over Pesach, even though you were not aware of it, and there will be no exemption from Bali Ro by Matzah, even though you were misasik, because misasik still is a Maisa Aveira. Rabbi Kiva Eger has a proof to his approach. From a Gemara Masechta Shvuos, the Gemara says in your testament, based over here, or discuss on the sheet, that let's say a person enters in to a house, he thinks it's a regular house, and lo and behold, it's the Beis HaMikdash. He didn't realize he's lost in Yerushalayim. Oh, yeah, he's lost in the Arab Quarter. Right? I think he could get lost, even though now there's tours online of the Arab Quarter, but you get lost, and here I am, on the Harabais, and I'm Tomei. So you're not allowed to be the Betumot. You have to bring a carbon. So that's not a carbon chatas, that's a carbon oil of a yored, if you enter into the Beis HaMikdash Betumah. And the Gemara says in Masech Teshuvos that you do. You do. Why do I have to bring a carbon? I didn't realize I was entering into the Beis HaMikdash. I thought I was entering into some other alleyway, and here I am on Har HaBayis in the Beis HaMikdash. I had no idea. So you're a misasik. Why do I have to bring a carbon oil of a yared? Says Rabbi Kiva Eger, beautiful. I'll tell you why. The reason why is because misasik is an exemption from carbon chatos, but it's still an avera. So even though there's no chatos, but there is a carbon oil of a yared. That's the raya of Rabbi Kiva Eger. That's the raya of Rabbi Kiva Eger. However, in the Sefer Minchas Baruch was a Rabbi Baruch Levski, who was a Talmud in the Volozhin Yeshiva, died at the beginning of the 1900s, a contemporary of Reb Chaim. And I say contemporary of Reb Chaim because there are two pieces in Reb Chaim Sefer, maybe more, that you find similar ideas in Makar Baruch, which is interesting. Reb Chaim is, of course, world famous. The Makar Baruch they know about in certain circles, but not in others. But they lived at the same time. Sometimes you find that parallel ideas and people lived at similar times. Of course, Reb Chaim became world famous, the Minchas Baruch not so much. But the Minchas Baruch here defends the Makar Chaim, and he has what I think is a fantastic distinction, again, to explain the Raya of Rabbi Kiva Eger. Why? Because, again, the Gemara says in Masech Teshuvos that if you enter into the Beis HaMikdash B'tumah, so then, well, you don't even need his answer. You could have said more simply, and this other Achronim do say to defend the Makor Chaim, even before the Minchas Baruch, it says, 1 minute, entering into the Beis HaMikdash B'tumah, you violate that even if you're B'shei Val Tasa. Like, well, let's say I enter into the Beis HaMikdash and someone dies in the Beis HaMikdash. So do I have to leave now? So yes, you do. There's two Isurim with regards to entering into the Beis HaMikdash B'tumah. Number one is, if I'm Tamei already, you're not allowed to enter in. And then if you became Tamei there, you can't stay. So one could have said, this is exactly a proof to the Makor Chaim's distinction between an Avera that is B'shei Val Tasa and an Avera that is B'kum Vasei. Look at the Rambam in Bias Mikdash Gimel, Chafav and Chavbez. The Rambam says there's two prohibitions here. Number one, to enter in B'tumah. And number two, if you're Tamei, you got to leave right away. Which implies that there's an Iser, even B'shei Val Tasa, to remain in the Beis HaMikdash B'tumah. So one could have defended Makor Chaim and said, the reason why you have to bring a carbon oil of a yored, if you enter into the Beis HaMikdash by accident, but isn't it a misasek? The answer is, so Rabbi Kiva Eger said, must be a misasek, even though your potter from Machatos is really a Maisa Aveira. No, we could say, very simply, with regards to entering the Beis HaMikdash itself, that's like retaining chametz on Pesach, that it is not only has a component that is Bekum Vaseh, you can't enter in once you're Tameh, but even if you weren't Tameh, you became Tameh there, you can't stay, even though you are B'shei Val Tasa. However, the Minchas Baruch has a different distinction. Minchas Baruch says that the only time you're considered a misasek is if you didn't realize you were doing this activity. But what if I realized I was doing this activity, right? Because if I don't realize I'm doing it, the activity doesn't relate to me. I realized I was doing the activity of entering into the house. I just was not aware that this was the Beis HaMikdash. I thought it was a private house. But you knew you were entering into this house. That's not misasek. Misasek is if I bend down to pick up my keys, and instead of picking up my keys, I pick up grass. You didn't intend to pick up grass. That wasn't what you had intention to do, so then the action doesn't relate to you. Here, I knew I was entering into a house. I thought the house was a regular house. It turns out it's the Beis HaMikdash. That's not a misasek. Misasek is only if you didn't realize you were doing the activity. Here, I knew all along I was doing the activity, and he has a wonderful raya to this approach. Because the Gemara says in Masechtas Shabbos, Mishnah Masechtas Shabbos, over here, Oysir Beis, Oysir Aleph. A person has two children who need a bris milah today. Of course, the bris milah has to be performed on the eighth day. I'm sorry, he has two children before him who need a bris milah. One is supposed to be on Shabbos, one is supposed to be Sunday. Right? The eighth day is Sunday. So the one who's supposed to be Shabbos, the bris is Dorech HaShabbos. The one who's supposed to be Sunday, the bris is not Dorech HaShabbos, has to be pushed off to Sunday. He mixed up the babies. And he does the bris of the Tinoik, supposed to be Sunday, he does it on Shabbos. And the one on Shabbos, he does on Sunday. So the one on Shabbos, he does on Sunday, he pushed off the bris the day later. Okay, Nishka, you know, it's bad, but okay, it's over. The bris of Sunday that he did on Shabbos, ooh, now he's doing something wrong. Does he have to bring a carbon chatas? He violated Shabbos by accident. Well, I mean, but he didn't realize he was doing a bris on this baby. He thought he was doing a bris on the baby whose bris was supposed to be today, not on the Sunday baby. So then, nonetheless, the Mishnah says, you're chayiv. So Rabbi Kiva Eger, on his comments on that Mishnah, you know, Rabbi Kiva Eger has chidushim on the Gemara, he has shalos and tshuvos, but he also has Tosfos Rabbi Kiva Eger on the Mishnahs. So in the Tosfos Rebbe Kiva Eger, on that Mishnah in Shabbos and Kuflam Zayin Amid Aleph, yes, but isn't this a misasik? You didn't realize you were doing the bris on this baby. You thought you were doing the bris on another baby. So it says the Mincha, and he leaves off Pitzarachi and says the Minchas Baruch, I'll tell you why you're not a misasik. Because this is the very same activity you intended to do. You just got switched which baby you were doing the bris on. But you knew the activity you were doing so that you knew you were violating Shabbos. It's permitted for the bris that's supposed to be today. It's not permitted for the bris that's not supposed to be today. But in the end of the day, you were doing that activity and you had intention for that activity. You just got switched which item you were working with. That's not a misasik. So a person enters into a house which he thinks is a regular house, turns out to be the Beis Hamikdash. That's not a misasik either. And that's why you bring a karbon over the yared. And that's why the person who does the bris on this baby as opposed to that baby is chayv a karbon and he's not a misasik either. The problem with the Minchas Baruch, and this comes up l'maisa, in a community where the Eruv falls down on Shabbos, do we have to tell the people that the Eruv fell down? Or can we say, you know what? They don't even realize they're carrying. They're a misasik. Should we bother telling them? It once happened, we had a guy in YU, there used to not be an Eruv across Amsterdam Avenue. It used to only be on one side of the Heights, on the cafeteria side, because Avraham Soloveitchik said, you're not allowed to build an Eruv over Amsterdam Avenue. Classic YU, after Avraham Soloveitchik passed away, but, you know, that year, they built an Eruv that crossed Amsterdam Avenue, and it was necessary to have an Eruv that crossed Amsterdam Avenue, because you would have people who lived in Morg, who would come and daven in Beis Medrash, so they needed to take their key with them. So they can't carry it, the key to the Beis Medrash. Or the guy who lived in Mus had his key to his room, and he's a Mus. He davened Beis Medrash. In those days, there was no other Beis Medrash. Davened that Beis Medrash, and then he wanted to go to the Furman dining hall. So how's he going to bring his key there? So he had a problem. So one time it happened, a guy brought his key, you know, to the, was on the wrong side. So he came up with a chop. This is what happens when a guy spent too much time in, in yeshiva. Came up with a chop. How am I going to get my key across the street? There's no way ever across Amsterdam Avenue. He said, I have a great idea. I'll slip my key into my friend's pocket. He won't know about it at all. He'll carry it across the street, not knowing that it's there, and he'll be a misasik. Misasik is not chayv and shamas. So do we have to tell him that, am I allowed to do that? So that might be a difference between Rabbi Kiva Eger, right? Rabbi Kiva Eger would say, Misasik is a Maisa Aveira. You're not allowed to do that. I'm being machshu him in a Maisa Aveira. There's no Chatos, yes, but it's a Maisa Aveira. However, according to the Nesivas, you might be allowed to do that. Is a Misasik is not even a Maisa Aveira. Shabbos requires a proactive activity. It's not violated by Sheva Tasa. And therefore, you might be allowed to do this. It should be dependent on the Nesivas and Rabbi Kiva Eger. This might make a difference also. Do we have to tell people the Erev is down? If you possibly could be Kiva Eger, you might have to tell people the Erev is down and they can't carry on Shabbos, you know, even though they don't know the Erev is down. However, according to the Nesivos, it could be that people don't realize the Erev is down, even though they're carrying, they're a Misasek. And Misasek is not even a Maisaver, according to the Nesivos. So many pass in that way. I gave you over here, Shlomo Zalman says, Neshmir Shabbos Kochasi, you don't have to tell people the Erev fell down. And other Paiskim don't feel where Baron Cutler felt, we should possibly could be Kiva Eger, that you do have to tell people the Erev fell down. And that, so that they shouldn't carry, maybe Misasik is even a Maisaver. Okay, Chaver, we'll stop over here. I have to pick up next.